Hey everybody, welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is a podcast about the paranormal and contemporary mythology. Join us on patreon.com/reallifesci-fi for access to two bonus episodes a week, video feeds, and more. Also, visit reallifesci-fi.show for all of our links. This episode is brought to you by two of our Patreons. They're both named Lydia. I feel like something is up here. This seems like a scam. It seems like we're getting scammed. But anyway, it's Lydia Petunia and Lydia Alexander, both friends of Charlquan. For now, thank you very much.
Thank you very much
for
cheers.
Sponsoring.
I'm drinking a Henninger Lager.
I'm back to my Miller Lite because I'm unemployed again. So got my $20 30 pack today. It's going to last me 3 days.
Yeah.
Let's welcome aboard the SSRLSF. He's a shop electrician on the upcoming Apple TV series, Your Friends and Neighbors. It's Michael Carbone. What up, Mike?
Hey.
Can I say Mike?
Guys.
Should I say Michael?
Hey, you know, either way works.
Thanks for joining us. How into the world of, I mean, we say contemporary mythology. I don't know if people know what that means. We just don't want to say conspiracy theories because that's like Alex Jones. It's been weaponized in a weird way. But like, how into like aliens and YouTube rabbit holes and like secret societies and stuff are you?
Oh, I totally love all that stuff. I'm very open-minded. I'm not super judgmental when different ideas kind of get hurled at me. So I love going down the rabbit hole. I love doing lots of research. I like the government conspiracy theories. I like all the alien ones. I kind of am like a connoisseur in a way. Like I want a little bit more than just like reading the news and like seeing what's going on. I'd like to, you know, reach out and see what else is out there.
What's the kind of last thing that you did a deep dive on?
It was a little bit more into the like political spectrum of things, but I did a lot of deep diving into the whole Q movement, and I just was very fascinated by that. Not that I believe in it.
But, right. Did you watch the HBO doc?
You know, I haven't seen it yet.
I feel like you have to if you did all that research, because they kind of blow the lid off of it a little bit.
Really?
Yeah, a little bit.
Need to have a look.
Check it out.
I love getting a lot more information on that. You know, just because like it's what's cool about it was that it ties into a lot of stuff that's just happening right now. And
yeah,
it becomes very current. And that's really the exciting part, is that it's never like sticking with just something. It's always something new and fun.
It's dead now, right? Or are they still trying to do it?
I think it's pretty much. It's,
yeah.
To me, it seems like it's lost a lot of like.
I haven't heard anything about it. It's like once the 4chan thing stopped, it was kind of like,
yeah.
Whatever.
We're friends with someone who was in, I'm just going to say this little anecdote real quick, who was in one of these Q groups. And I tried to get into it too, but they wouldn't let me in.
Whoa.
And
wow.
when Trump was not elected, you know, it died.
Yeah, that's kind of what I kind of noticed too, is it just kind of like petered out a little bit, you know, quieted down.
I mean, you can only be wrong on your predictions for so long before people just start going like, oh, you're just making this up.
I need something new.
And there were these moments too of like, okay, what's going to happen now?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he just kept predicting random dates, right? And saying like, this is going to happen soon. I don't know. What do you even get out of that? If you're anonymous, can you even make money off of it?
I think some people might have been. For me, it was just like getting the interesting twists on the news that was going on. You know, maybe sometimes learning about things ahead of time too.
No, wait. But yes, for sure you. But like, what's the point? Was it to swing elections and stuff? Like was that the point, to just be like kind of a propaganda machine?
I think so. I think it ties into a lot of the psyop type stuff.
Yeah, totally. Right. I'm like 100% psyop. Yeah. And also to
psyop sorry, but I've noticed that PSYOP is being thrown around a lot more lately. It's kind of like the buzzword of its time, right? It's like everything is described as a PSYOP now. What does that mean? Psychological operation?
Yeah, pretty much.
It's like an experiment from either the CIA or political factions that are like a velociraptor checking the different parts of the fence for weaknesses. You know, it's funny because like right now they're about to ban TikTok for everything that Facebook has already proven to be bad about. I'm like, so
well, they work with Facebook. They don't work with TikTok.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, that is more dangerous to me than anything that could happen from TikTok. Oh, it's the other government. I'm like, well, what the fuck are you guys doing? You know,
I mean, it's all nonsense. It's all nonsense. It's like, don't believe anything you see on any social media platform, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how you get around this shit.
I feel like there's a lot of people smart enough to do that, but there's so many that aren't. And I'm like, oh, boy.
Well, it's 12-year-olds, right? It's like 12-year-olds.
And anybody above 65.
Gay 65-year-olds on TikTok, you think?
No, oh, no. I meant Facebook. I meant people being influenced on Facebook.
For sure that. But do you think there are any 65-year-olds on TikTok?
Yeah. All they hear is, there's money over here. And then you just get in a rabbit hole watching things, and then your day's gone. And then another day is gone. And your week's gone. You know, like,
I guess my parents are older than that. They have no idea how to do TikTok. I would have to walk them through like how to get TikTok.
Well, I'm friends with so many people my age on TikTok that have never posted anything. So just watching stuff. And that's fine. I don't, whatever. No, it's better than TV. You know what I mean?
Shut your mouth, Willie. That's our industry. We have to maintain the illusion that it's a viable product. He's on an Apple TV show, man. TV's great. It's good. We do something here called the Wow Scale.
Wow Scale.
Are you a wet or are you a Willy?
Stands for Waiter Willie. It's a 5-question quiz, and at the end of the quiz, I'll give you a score anywhere between 0 and 5. If you're more of a 5, you're more of a Willie. If you're more of a 0, you're more of a Wade. Are you ready to be weighed on the Wow Scale?
Let's do it.
First question, 3-parter. Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
Yes, I believe in aliens. No, I don't believe they visited Earth. No, I don't believe they visited Earth in the last 300 years.
Which aliens do you believe in? Do you just believe in that space is so big that the
Yeah, basically, like I've listened to so many episodes, and everybody keeps giving like the general, like the universe is so big and we haven't seen all of it. So it stands to reason that there's got to be life out there. But do I believe that it would overcome such enormous distances to come here and just be secret about it and like pay deference to our or the world governments to just fly around in the sky and kind of like, I don't know.
Willie, you want to take this one? I know that you've got a million things to say about that.
I know, right? Well, the fascinating thing that's happening now is in the realm of all things that I experience and research or hear about or whatever, my fucking feed is off the charts. There is a group right now, I forget what university they're from, where they're using the James Webb telescope. And this scientist says, hey, we're 50-50 that there could be life, that we may have found life using the telescope. So I'm just saying, like, of all the crazy things I believe they're interdimensional beings here. Could we observe life in another part of the universe? We see all these Goldilocks zones things. The James Webb telescope is amazing. The answer might be maybe. And so I'm excited to see what comes of that. There are other people out there that say that the James Webb telescope actually looks through different dimensions. That we'll see. There's nothing behind that, but I do like the idea that it's that powerful.
I could totally get behind that.
All right. Question number 2, ghosts. What are your thoughts?
No ghosts, or at least I've never experienced any sort of like ghost type stuff.
You're from Queens.
Yeah.
Old stuff there, right? In Queens.
Yeah. My grandparents had a basement. It felt spooky down there, you know, but I didn't think there were ghosts. I live pretty much across the street from a cemetery. There's a lot of cemeteries in Queens. you know, never seen any ghostly visages or anything like that. I had plenty of opportunity to. So I have never seen any evidence of it. So I haven't, I don't really believe in ghosts.
Fair enough. Bigfoot.
No on the Bigfoot either. My family's got like a little timeshare kind of thing. Like they spread it out between a couple of guys upstate, but they basically go hunting up there. And my cousins go up there too. They got trail cams for like looking for the deer.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's plenty of people around the country also doing that. You would think by now, maybe like one not so good Bigfoot at being stealthy would get caught by one of them by now.
That's your next rabbit hole you need to go down.
Oh, really? Is there new evidence?
I mean, I think within the last 10 years, I've seen some like, oh, that thing's pretty big. That thing's cool. Like, but nothing that has made the news, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's never newsworthy. But yeah, every once in a while, something does kind of trickle through. I definitely would like to look into it more. But at the moment, like, I wouldn't say for me that there's sufficient evidence for it yet.
All right. What about Illuminati?
Totally believe in it. Maybe not in like an organized sort of way. Like, you know, maybe they don't have like a pension or a 401k, but like they totally probably are a thing. Just like higher up people making decisions about people beneath them.
Like people above presidents?
Sure. Yeah, why not? You know, like corporations and stuff like that, like conglomerates, people that like probably deal in like energy, oil, you know, like the Rockefeller types. That's why they kind of had to get broken up back in the day.
Let's say Illuminati's real and they're like trying to run the world. And then like a company comes up like BlackRock, you know?
Right.
Oh, we own a third of the world. I would think that they would either get bought out or they would join.
Yeah, we're doomed. What are there, like three conglomerations? They own everything? Like, yeah. We're doomed.
Yeah, I think Vanguard and BlackRock are like part of our investment package for our pension, too. So that's to me, that's a little alarming after hearing all the BlackRock stuff that I've heard.
I know, dude. I mean, we should just do an episode on that shit. Because I don't know if a lot of people know that stuff.
Well, just the fact that they're like buying up houses like crazy. And I assume like, and they must be inflating the price. I don't know, making it inaccessible. Yeah,
they're buying up all the fucking real estate.
Yeah.
Well, they just today, they're a Congress or whoever. I'm an idiot. I don't know how the government works, but they're trying to stop private equity firms from buying single dwelling, like houses, basically. We'll see.
Yeah.
Last question. The multiverse. You mentioned that maybe you could believe in interdimensionality. Do you believe in the multiverse, aka not like the Marvel ship, but like not far off of it, you know?
Yeah. You know what? I could probably kind of get behind that. And I would say, not to jump too far ahead, that it's because of the near-death experience that I could kind of get behind it, because not to call it like reality jumping, but when you go through that experience, you start to question, you know, like, oh, did I wake up in a different one? Am I still in the same place that I was in?
Wow. What a perfect segue cliffhanger for me to, oh, by the way, you're a two.
Nice. That's not bad.
So yeah, you're kind of in the middle. You could be a 2.5, but I also believe in aliens. The scale's not scientific. So you're like a 2. Willie, hit us with the topic.
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, Michael's near-death experience. What happened? And then after that, let's get into messages from near-death experiences. Who's delivering these messages that people are getting and why? Is there someone delivering a message? Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, messages from beyond.
Willie, no offense, these have gotten very lazy.
Have they ever not been?
Well, they were lazy in a fun way. Now it feels like they're shorter. I don't know.
They're shorter because the song is so short and I keep going like, oh God, I like I'm talking 30 seconds
looped it or
past
something.
The song. I did, but then like it's boring. It just keeps going.
Okay. Well, listen, I said no offense. That means you can't take offense to it.
No,
that's the rules of society. All right. Well, let's just jump into it. Michael, you have a near-death experience story. I want to hear it.
All right. So this happened to me had to be well over 10 years ago. Back before I started doing union work, I was working at a equipment rental house. They're called, when we do movies and TV shows, the production doesn't buy lights. They don't buy all the equipment that we use. They rent it from a place and it goes back eventually. So I worked at a place that rented it out, and part of the job was testing the lights, testing the equipment, make sure it worked before it went out. One day, when I went to go test some of the equipment, it must have malfunctioned. So I turned off the breaker, because that's kind of what you're supposed to do to keep yourself safe, and unplugged these Bates paddles, they're called. And they come in two types, 120 volts and 208 volts. And the 208 volts are a little bit bigger. And grabbed it with...
What is it? Hands. Is it like a power block or what?
So you guys have seen the big Hollywood lights. In order to distribute the power, we got to use these like special plugs. We obviously can't use Edison plugs to plug in, 18 Ks or like 20 Ks, right? Mm-hmm. Those huge lights that we use.
Yeah.
We have to use these Bates connectors, and they can carry up to like 100 amps basically across them. They're really big.
And just for perspective, how many amps does it need to power a regular household?
Oh, man.
Is that like 20?
Very few. Certainly more than 20. I would say about like probably roughly less than 100. Very few. Okay. You'd be surprised. I'm definitely no house electrician in terms of like buildings, but we do like a different style of electricity in the movie world. But houses don't really consume a whole lot. Not compared to what we're pulling on sets. We're also using three-phase power. In regular home systems, we're using single phase, but some people will have like 220 hookups so that they can have like maybe a home table saw or something like that. Mm-hmm. We're running three-phase. So, at work, at least, it can be up to like 800, 1200 amps per panel just to run all the lights on like the stage. So at the equipment rental company, I went to go pull this plug out, and they're really tough in there because they got really thick pins. So I went to go yoink it out, and you really got to get a good firm grip on it. And something seemed wrong. I was immediately stricken by like awful, awful pain. And even though I had let go of it, I was still feeling all the electricity kind of riding up into my chest, passing through my heart and through my chest, forcing all of my muscles to be contracted, and feeling the current pass right back into the paddle. And the worst part of all during this whole thing, because it was excruciating, was I couldn't breathe anymore. All my muscles in my chest had locked up, and I had received a high enough shock that causes respiratory arrest, and that's somewhere between 50 and 150 milliamps. Any higher than that, and it absolutely would have killed me. Because I wasn't able to breathe anymore, I basically started passing out, and I'd had the whole tunnel of light experience and completely blacked out. I don't remember falling down on the floor, but I woke up on the floor, but not before like being in the deepest sleep that I've ever been in. And just before that, I kind of passed out, I realized like, oh, this is it. This is it. Like, I'm not coming back from this. And once I was there,
were you super happy? I would have been like, yes.
Well, it's funny you should mention that. You're in a very peaceful, sleep-like state, and you're overwhelmed with this sort of like oneness with the universe in a way, an acceptance that this is going to be where you are permanently. And just as that happens, you're like accepting and having this transformative experience where you're like, okay, you know, this is my mortality. You know, this is it. It's over. And this is your, like, the last parts of your thoughts are kind of draining away. You like are forced back into your body, waking up in horrible pain again, which was gone a moment ago. And you were like, oh God, no, go. I want to go back. This is awful. Like, cause I got control of my muscles again and I was breathing, but everything was, it felt like I was hit by a truck. It was awful. And that was the moment that I was like, no, I would rather go back than, you know, come back into this, this awful experience.
What was the aftermath? Were you hospitalized or anything? Or like, what happens when you kind of electrocute yourself?
So I should have gone to the hospital. Now that I've like gone through all this unit training, you know, they, like
you,
I've seen all these
you
different.
You didn't go.
No, I wasn't at a non-union rental house at the time, and I just like kind of woke up. It felt like
were there people there?
There, one of my coworkers was like standing above me at the time, and kind of like, you know, wasn't sure what was going on and why I was on the floor, and it felt like. You know, waking up from it felt like in movies when a grenade goes off, like your ears are ringing and it's all bright and everything. Yeah. And you're kind of discombobulated and you can't even, you know, the room is spinning because you're kind of coming back from everything. And one of my coworkers was standing above me being like, what are you doing?
You're supposed to be working right now. What the fuck?
Yeah, come on. Get back. Time is money. Get back to it.
Oh, sorry. I just thought I would take a nap here on the hard floor. What do you think I'm doing, man?
Right.
Like, I'm passed out.
So I basically just kind of dusted myself off and got to work. And I think the next morning I woke up and I found I had like an electrical burn that was going up my forearm all the way up into like my armpit. And, you know, it kind of like stung a little bit. It was like worse than a sunburn, but not quite like, you know, scabbed. And I felt really sore. My muscles were sore for a little bit, for a couple days.
See, that's crazy because I'm like, all the iron in your blood probably just fucking heated up and like melted shit. Or, you know, like,
ugh. You know, I still got a bad rotator cuff, probably from, you know, the source of the shock might have, you know, I always figured something had to do with it. You know?
Well, you probably recoiled so hard that you bashed yourself up against a bunch of stuff. I'll bet it was hilarious.
You know what? It probably was. But I think the rotator cuff's more to do with the job, you know.
Yeah.
So when you saw the white light, you mentioned that, the tunnel or the white light or whatever. But you didn't see any dead relatives or anything?
No. You know what? And I did a lot of thinking about this because... You know, as I was kind of passing out and realizing that I was going to go down, one of the things that I was trying to do was like, okay, I'm probably not going to make it out of this. I'm losing consciousness. What are some like happy thoughts and happy memories that I can summon up so that I can at least have some semblance of like a peaceful thing before I go out? And I didn't have enough time to think of anything. And, because it was all just happening so fast. So, you know, I basically just like completely lost consciousness.
But you gave yourself, you did a self-inflicted existential crisis.
Yeah.
Like you woke up and you're like, oh my God, I couldn't even think of one good part of my life.
Right. I didn't have time for, you know, I didn't have time to think of one good thing. And
that's the lesson, is that like, think of the one thing so that if you get in the situation, you just go, now, I'm prepared.
Well, and so also this thing definitely shocked you because you definitely got shocked.
Mm-hmm.
Did you tell them? Were you like, this one's not good? Or did you just put it on the truck?
So we had like a guy that did like repairs. And I remember we immediately pulled down the bull switch and disconnected the entire thing. And we're like, okay, this entire unit needs to be serviced. It's no longer good. Like we like put tape all over it and marked it up so they knew. And I think they knew that I got hit by like a shock, but you know,
they didn't know how serious it was.
Yeah, certainly not.
Well, listen, I had a refrigerator in my garage growing up, and I think a cat maybe chewed a wire or something, because I would open it and I would get a little shock, but not like, you know how when you touch like a static shock and you can feel it and it makes a noise.
Right.
This is more like, this is just for people who have not experienced electricity. You just feel it sort of entering your body in a weird way. It just feels like it's shaking, kind of, but that's actually just electricity coming in. And the fridge was so low voltage that it just was unsettling. We never did anything about it. I might have been the only one who even knew that it was happening. So I'm saying same page, dude. Yeah. Totally get it.
Oh, yeah. You know, you feel it.
So after that, do you not fear death now?
You know, I don't. And that's
Are kinda... you Spider-Man? Hang on. Are you Spider-Man? Because he's from Queens now, isn't he?
Yeah, right.
Or is he from Brooklyn?
Miles Morales is from Queens.
I don't know. I don't know the boroughs or the neighborhoods. I don't.
Yeah, I had no visitation from my ancestors in the dead world. But I did lose, or I became more so comfortable with the concept of being dead that I no longer am afraid of it. Now that I know what it is, it's not something that I need to be afraid of because I've experienced it, or at least,
I feel like most of my anxiety comes from just fearing death. And I'm like, I have less and less because I'm like, well, no matter what, whatever I think it is not what it is. So,
well, but here's the thing. Yeah, you died allegedly because you didn't go to the hospital. So we don't even know. you could have been fine and you're just tripping. I'm not actually saying that, but there does need to be more to it, right? Like, it can't just end there, can it? Where you're just at peace and then that's it. Fuck, I hope that's not it.
Well, I mean, so for all the near-death experiences that people that have experienced anything in this realm, yeah, sure, there is the white light, the end of the tunnel. Sure, some people have seen family members waiting for them.
Wait, but before you, because it feels like you're about to move on, I just have one more question. Did it feel like there was more, like this was just a stage of death, or did it feel like, oh, because it felt like you're settling into like a beanbag chair or something, right? And you're like, yeah. Okay, this is it.
It feels like you're falling asleep, basically.
Where I was leading to was that what a lot of people have is proof of perception without their body. So do you feel like you were out of your body when you were experiencing that?
Oh yeah.
Deep sleep, right? Like
it felt like I had no body. It felt like the only part of me that was left were the thoughts that I had that I was dying and that I was dead and that, you know, I was sort of drifting away and I was sort of, I was in a totally bodiless state at that point, totally disconnected.
From people's experiences have proven that people have had perception outside of their body, whether it be them seeing themselves resuscitated, seeing other people doing things in other rooms while this was happening.
This is kind of what I'm saying. I feel like he didn't get to that part. I think if he would have died, he would have got to that next part where he's just floating. What's that movie where it's all above?
Into the void? Void. Yeah, yeah. I love that movie. That's fucking amazing.
Yeah, but that guy did those other movies, and I don't like those other movies. Didn't he make that movie where, like, if you listen to it, it's supposed to make you nauseous or something? Like, isn't he like a weird...
Am I thinking of
the wrong guy?
It might be him. I don't know anything. But I was looking up things about people dying, right? So, like, brain cells can live up to 8 hours after the blood flow stops. And there have been extreme cases where it has lasted longer. But in those situations, the body has to be cooled to slow down the process of these cells dying. And the longest somebody has been dead and resuscitated is 17 hours. And CPR, you know, used to not even be a thing. But now they're thinking like up to 30 minutes, even up to an hour, people. No, 30 minutes. People can be resuscitated from CPR. And I know you didn't have this experience. And but seeing your body outside of yourself is like one of these steps also. And well, hold on. Yeah. Before I move on, is there anything else you want to say about your experience?
Just that there was a disconnectedness, you know, just a complete separation. You didn't even know who you were anymore. There was no sense of self. There was no sense of time.
But also in that experience, you also felt a comfort, right?
Oh yeah. Overwhelming comfort. Like this was almost like this was the place that we were in before we were born. And this is the place that we will be returning to afterwards. And just an overwhelming sense of acceptance. And it was very relaxing. And it's hard to explain.
Yeah. Acceptance is a word that I keep hearing over and over. And I'm like, it's weird because we do spend a lot of our lives not feeling accepted, even within our own minds, you know?
I feel like we spend a lot of our times, a lot of our life fighting against the fear of death. And a lot of it drives a lot of our decisions. Maybe it's helped me make better decisions. Maybe not. Maybe it's, you know.
But that would be such an easy mindset to have if money wasn't a thing, right? Like it's really easy to not fear death if you don't have to pay rent. You know what I mean?
I feel like
if I had your experience, and you could come back as like a superhuman who just doesn't care about knives and guns anymore because you're not even mortal anymore in a way, right? Like, you know what the end is. So it's like, who cares? But then it's still a drag because you got to fucking work and pay money.
Right. Oh, I know what it is, but I'm not going to go seeking it out also.
Sure. But it's funny that we're talking about this. Because it does make me think, like, do you approach anything differently in your life having had that experience? And let's just lay out a hypothetical. And of course, there's no correct way to answer a hypothetical because you'll never be in the situation. But if there was like a fight, would you be more prone to break it up now than before? Because you know that if they stab you in the middle of the fight, I don't know what I'm asking.
Right. It's really the calmness during emergency situations, like gaining that because some of the fear is gone of.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's funny that you kind of should mention that because like we had that huge earthquake a couple of weeks ago. I was actually on the stage while it was occurring and it was shaking all of the really heavy lights in the rafters. And even though it wasn't a major earthquake, in a very old stage, like Astoria Kaufman, that was built like, you know, I don't know, maybe I'm not saying 100 years ago, but I mean,
they probably did silent pictures there, right? It's old.
I think they used to do some like Navy training videos there also at the Brooklyn Navy Yard, but they did a lot of work at Kaufman with the military. So we're in the old building. They built a couple of new stages where Sex and the City is over at. The old building, they even have signs that are posted up saying like, you know, make sure not to be hanging out past the pick points and don't walk out beyond the rafters.
The don't stand too long in this building. It could fall at any time. Good luck with your shoot.
It's like if you fall and die, you're fired. It's kind of what the wordage is.
That happened recently.
Wait. Real quick before you get into this, put a pin in that. Irreversible is what I was thinking. It's from 2002. Apparently there's a noise in it that makes people nauseous.
Oh.
That's why I never watched.
I think I remember
hearing
that.
That's the same guys as End of the Void.
Anyway. I was on an old stage during an earthquake also. It was Ricky, who was Lucy's husband?
Desi Arnaz.
Yeah, Desi Arnaz. It was their first stages they built after getting enough money to build their own stages. Fucking, you know, 90 feet high. I'm coming down the steps because I was hanging some fucking chandeliers by myself.
The Hollywood Center one, or is this a different one?
It ended up being called Renmar. It's the
is it where Mad TV, where you worked Mad TV?
No. I think they're older than those. This is where, if you watch Who Framed Roger Rabbit, it's the stages they use to be the sets that they have, offices and stages. It's off of Cahuenga, south of Melrose.
That's barely Hollywood. I wouldn't even call that Hollywood.
Yeah, I'm coming down these stairs and the earthquake's going And like, oh shit, I just started leaning against the wall because I was halfway in between. And I think it's like 90 feet to the, all the lights are shaking. And I'm going like, oh fuck, like I should, I froze and was like, oh, I should get down these stairs because these old wooden stairs are probably going to collapse. But I mean, I was fine. It wasn't that bad, but yeah, boy,
it would be crazy if there was a building, if you were in a building that had lasted 100 years and you were in there at the one earthquake that took it down. Cause it's experienced earthquakes. You know what I mean? We've got one every couple weeks. Not huge ones.
Yeah. But it also went through a couple big ones, you know? So yeah.
Right. Right. That would be just bad luck, I guess. Or maybe that's just God plucking you out of the, plucking you out of the hay. Well, you're the little needle in the hay. And
10 of you. 10 of you aren't going to live past today
because you're little needles.
A lot of people that have gone through this come back with a message. And they have.
Oh, yeah. Let's put them on the spot. Michael, what's the message from death?
Oh, that it's going to be okay.
I don't like that. I feel like it's not going to be okay.
That was the general vibe that I kind of got, was that we're going to a different place and it's not something to dislike.
Were you religious before?
No, that's the surprising thing, was I was very not religious. And now, because of the experience, I wouldn't say I'm like, I've like picked one, but I'm certainly more open to the concept.
Well, yeah, and the word you should use is spiritual, right?
Yeah, and absolutely.
No, I meant literally religious, because I spiritual, whatever.
No, I'm saying he's meaning spiritual, but you're meaning.
Yeah, because I can imagine if like a devout Christian went through that, they'd probably spin it in some way.
Well, see, and that's where I was leaning towards. But first off, I want to say that I feel like, and I'm putting words in your mouth from reading and listening to people's experiences, that the reason why it's a spiritual experience is because you got to take a breath, got to take a break from the lives that we're living. And all of our lives should not be about most of the things that we're doing. You know, I'm sure, I mean, we have to survive and whatnot, but to take a breath, to take a break from just the give and go of regular working too much for not enough money. I mean, I can't believe that somebody saw you on the ground is like, what are you doing? You know, like you guys deal with electricity. So what are you doing laying on the ground?
Right. Yeah. It does give you kind of like a different appreciation of things. You know, you kind of certainly not perfect, but, and I've sweat the small stuff on some things, but you get like a more relaxed outlook on life. Nothing's ever really such a huge deal as like that happening. And that, if that's the worst thing that could happen, and you know, I've gone
it is
it. Yeah, and it is, I guess, the worst thing. I mean, personally, I think the worst thing that can happen is being like wounded in a way that you have to now carry it the rest of your life.
Oh.
But
good point.
Yeah, that, I think that's a little bit worse. Carrying a bad rotator cuff from wrapping all this cable.
You would rather be dead.
I would literally that or a robot arm. I would literally rather be dead than deal with.
Oh man, we're close. We're close to that robot shit.
Well, you know, and it's funny because like everybody thinks robots can do everything, but I'm like, cyborgs will do a better job. You know, like. And get a robot arms on a human.
I am fully on the side of cyborgs. I don't want robots, but I'm down for cyborgs.
Yeah, I'd be open.
Sign me up, man. I'll get any implant that you need me to get. I don't care. I don't believe in.
We're gonna have to start a cyborg sign up list. It's like, hey, if anybody's doing anything, you know, like
yeah, man, I'll be
pays better than sperm donation, and you don't need to be in shape.
God, how amazing that would be.
If you look up near-death experiences and you look up messages, most of the messages, there are a lot of people that experience the relax, everything is love, and whatever this is, we're not in charge of. I love the idea of hearing somebody say that the meaning of life is there is no meaning set out for us, but the purpose of our life is to find meaning in our own personal lives. Like, oh, that's, I loved hearing that. But there are so many messages specifically religious that I've seen. Some of these people weren't religious before, but they come back with a religious message. Like there was this one specific guy that was like, I didn't believe in anything before. And when I was dead, somebody was with me and I recognized him immediately. It was Jesus. All, you know, and all of a sudden,
was it white Jesus? Did they ask? Was
exactly,
it white Jesus?
Right. I know. And I'm like, oh, white Jesus was in your near death experience. Like, and there are people that have, there are, you know, there's Christian gods, Christian Jesus, there's Hindu gods. And so many people have this message. And it's also interesting to hear people talk about, oh, well, you know, I didn't believe in anything, but I definitely was in hell. So when you hear these different versions of people having these experiences, but messages, there are people that are coming back saying like, oh, well, you know, I need to listen. I'm lost on what
spread the gospel or.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. 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 That's where I'm getting to is that like people that say that, they now
hey, I, listen, I think fall you, into missed, a religion. You missed out on a huge paycheck. You could have just said you saw Jesus and then you could be getting paid to like do giant mega churches right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those people make so much money. Like, why not dupe those people a little bit? Oh yeah. I died and I saw Jesus.
Well, I
here's my money.
I see that kind Take of it. Happening. And I'm like, how do so many people have a specific religious message, and it just makes me start to question.
And they and they vary. They're not they're not all Christian, right?
Yeah, and it makes me go like, well,
I think that's the same as reading a book, right? Like different people have different interpretations of a book. Like if you analyze a dream, it could mean anything. We're just talking about like to the nth degree of perception.
Yeah, and you know the biggest block in my head is, if there is a God, why is he wasting time trying to get a message out only through people that have died? Like,
well, his walkie-talkie is broken. And that's the only way. What about that? You ever think about that?
I mean, that's a great answer until you get different religions, different gods, different messages.
They're all feuding up there, man. Maybe the reason he didn't get a religious message is because he's not religious. And so they all passed on him. Like the roster came up, they were doing their draft that morning. Like, here's people who are about to die. Like, who do you want? And they all made their picks. Poor Michael was left on the bench. Sorry, bro.
Yeah. You know, I had a coworker actually like share his near-death experience with me. And he had like the whole family deal. You know, everybody was there, like accepting him and, you know, telling him like, oh, it's going to be all right. You're coming over. Oh, but it's not your time. It's not your time. And, you know, he like went back into his body, but he like felt totally fully accepting of it. And having gotten to see his family and all his ancestors there. And when he shared that with me, I was like, oh, I feel like I got ripped off. I didn't get any story.
No, I think you won. I think you won. I don't know your family life at all, but like if the afterlife is people I'm related to, fuck, dude, I love my family, but like the last thing I want is to spend eternity with my dad. I love my dad, but you all know what I mean, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
like,
yeah.
Oh, why did you get rid of all those pillows that I quilted, you know, like it,
no, that I bought from the My Pillow guy.
Yeah. No, I don't mean your dad. I'm just like the family member experience, like, oh yeah, we've all been waiting for you. We've been watching you, you know, like you collected all those coins for a reason.
I mean, we're accepting you, but it's really not, yeah. We don't approve of any of this.
You sure have been, you know, screwing around down there. You know?
Yeah. I mean, we saw every time that you jerked off and like, we're not supposed to say that, but we did. And it was disappointing. I know.
That's why they're happy. Like, we don't need to see this anymore. You can't jerk off with this body.
They're actually in hell, and hell is just watching all future generations of your lineage jerking off constantly.
Yeah, like, well, he's got a job. Well, I don't know what the problem is.
How does he find the time?
My mind just keeps spinning about, is this message generated from, because, you know, there's clearly,
well, people. He didn't get a message. So I'm not trying to cut you off or dispute you or anything, but like, it feels like these people are full of shit. They didn't really get a message. They probably just like, maybe their psyche gave them that message once it was over and they were thinking about like, how do I deal with this? Because we all know Michael's going through some things because he couldn't think of one happy memory from his whole life. They were just thinking of, oh, God saved me. And this wasn't a waste of time. It's real. God's real. And my God's real. And so now I'm going to tell everyone. You know what I mean?
Where is the information being generated from? Is your brain still alive and it's trying to make sense of it being dead?
Yeah.
The sci-fi version of me says, hey, what if there are other entities, other beings that can communicate with us on this level of us being dead, and they can put they can psychically put this information into us.
Shit.
And so
fucking blew it. You just blew it. That's the worst, Willie. So now we have to worry about, even in death, we have to worry about these creatures who can like fuck us over.
I know. And I'm going like, is that just my anxiety speaking, or is there a chance that, cause you know, you watch Contact.
I feel like it's an original idea and I think you should bleep it out of this because that's like a fucking movie.
Right. So like I picture Contact where it's like, hey, I'm your dad. Cause you're comfortable with your dad. Well, right. Hey, I'm Jesus because you've heard of this guy and here right. I am. And yeah. You know what? You have unfinished business.
Yeah. Go back, buy a lot of McDonald's, anything owned by the, you know, Southern California,
anything, give you a false purpose so that you don't even pay attention to things that you should be, I don't know, fighting against, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. They're propagandizing you in your death. They're going mm-hmm. like, hey, don't worry about all that other shit. Just keep fighting for Jesus.
So even in the simulation realm, you know, the only messages we would get would be based on things that already exist. Here's my thing is like, when it comes to messages from either aliens or gods or whatever, we never get real new information. It's all just stuff that's already been said. Right?
No. You just had a completely original thought that I feel like no one's ever had unless you read it somewhere. Maybe it's not information, but that doesn't mean that it's not valuable.
Yeah.
I mean, as a society, where are we if Good Will Hunting didn't exist? Good Will Hunting, we all agree, is the best movie of all time and it changed the world. And that came from just the minds of two little Harvard guys or whatever those guys are.
Maybe three.
Maybe Sid Field's in there too. I don't know. Or whoever it was. I'm sorry. I'm just doing bits. Finish that thought. Unless I derailed you.
The thing that tears me up is if somebody has a specific religious message, I'm like, automatically, I'm like, oh, you're being manipulated. Unless it is, because even I do believe that within the Bible, there are messages of like, yes, love. It's always about love, you know, that like this, the state of love, the feeling of love is actually something that we are, that's the meaning of life, is to find love.
No, I like your earlier one. The meaning of life is to find your own meaning.
No. To find your own meaning. But that meaning you can only find if you find something that you love. It doesn't have to be a person.
Fuck you. No, don't put me in a box. My thing isn't love, okay? My thing is not love. It's anything but. I don't know what it is, but it's not love. Fuck love. This is coming from a very personal place. I'm incapable of love, okay? That's why I just talk shit about my family. I love them, but like, I'm not going to hang out with them for eternity. I can't even hang out with them in a restaurant.
I know. I love the idea of your family like going like, well, we could go like picking which star in the cosmos to go to.
Fuck, kill me. Well, this one's drafty. Let's go to the other one.
We can go anywhere.
They are the sitcom. They
but
are like,
we should stay away from the Delta Quadrant.
Whoever that Ray Romano guy, that creator, that fucking obnoxious guy who now has like a travel show and shit. Like, he's got the same parents as me, only not Jewish, I think. You know that guy. He's got his own food thing. He's running around doing food stuff. He's very hardly trying to make himself a guy who everyone knows. Like a Larry David, but he's not. He's the guy behind the guy. No one knows what I'm talking about. This guy created Everyone Loves Raymond. Chuck Eats Food or something.
No.
I'm gonna look it up just for my own sanity.
Well, I was gonna say, in terms of the whole like religious message, I think everybody gets like everybody. It's a traumatizing experience, and everybody processes their trauma in their own way. So maybe that's kind of the reason why everybody gets like the same sort of general feeling, but like a different flavor. And everybody kind of puts their own personal spin on the whole experience, and. I certainly do like this idea of like entities or like different external sources affecting us while we're in this state, because we're sort of disconnected from our bodies and open and vulnerable. And, you know, we're totally letting our guard down. We have no guard. We're free of our bodies now. So like, you know, that the idea of something influencing us.
You're also free to believe the next thing that whatever thing approaches you says.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, and if it's like a message from a religious thing, then, or if it's from your family, you know, telling you whatever their message is.
I don't think there's a message. I swear this is just people coming out and like putting a message onto it. Like, he didn't get a message. So like, why did these people, like, fuck them?
Well,
they're just doing it because they were already religious. Well, also, Phil Rosenthal is his name. Somebody Feed Phil is his like travel food show. I despise the man.
Yeah, it sounds gross. maybe this idea came that I came up. I don't know if I came up with it, but the idea that we're talking about of other entities influencing these moments comes from something that I heard of. This, have you heard the concept of this soul trap, that our souls are trapped on Earth? It complements what I was saying earlier of like, hey, your family's here. Come with your family. All of that is that same communication of like, look over here, look over here.
I blew it. But like, I should have said that I love spiders the most, so that when I die and a bunch of spiders come up to me and they're like, hello, welcome. I'm going to be like, no, it's a trick.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. And so in the realm of this soul trapped on Earth is, well, if you just turn around, you can go anywhere in the cosmos you want.
Right.
But what's in front of you is like, hey, God, Jesus, your family, anything. Just keep looking at the light. Keep looking at the light. Okay, we'll come back in, and we're getting this karmic soul trap instead of.
Wow, that's fucking dark, dude.
I know, dude. I don't like it. It's like, I feel like every idea I have is just anxiety going like, don't trust anything.
These are amazing ideas for a movie, though. I mean, do you want to write this movie with me? Like, we should write that.
As long as we don't have a scene where there's a scientist explaining everything.
Oh no, it's going to be a psychological thriller, man. I mean, we're in the day and age of Jordan Peele. It's going to be like fucking dark and twisted.
Yeah.
Isn't that
two locations? We can make it for $2 million. It's going to gross $50 million. I guarantee it.
The Scientologists, don't they kind of feel something kind of like that? That, you know, our souls are kind of trapped here. Isn't that kind of what they believe?
Willie would know. I know. All I know is Thetans.
Yeah, I think their thing is, and I'm not actually sure about their afterlife, but I feel like our current life, we are trapped into all these sins, and so to break out of them, we have to, you know, disconnect. And but I don't know about their afterlife. That's I should look that up.
I think the whole thing is an afterlife, isn't it? Isn't that kind of the thing? It's like our souls are trapped here, and we all have these thetans inside of us, and like, we got to get rid of these thetans to cleanse our soul or something.
Yeah, but what happens when your soul is cleansed? Like, where does your soul go?
Oh no, you become Tom Cruise, and you make $1 billion.
What happens to Tom Cruise when he dies?
Well, I'm being glib, but because I don't believe in Scientology, I don't give a fuck. I would say, okay, when they die, let's see, they rule a planet. I don't know.
Right, I know it's definitely a sci-fi thing. It probably is God of your own realm.
Yeah, it's some bullshit. All right, we should wrap it up. Michael, anything else? Is a fascinating story. Thank you for telling it. I would have, because I've struggled to get a tattoo idea for like my entire life. I would have 100% got my electricity scars tattooed. That would have been awesome.
I should think about that. That sounds like a good idea.
Did you get pictures?
I did. I got one photo.
You can recreate. You just recreate it, man. Just be like, this is the actual scars. No one will know. Do you want to send anyone to your socials or plug anything? The show that you're working on is Your Friends and Neighbors, and it's an Apple TV. Is that what they're calling it?
Yeah, TV Plus.
John Hamm. Who's a girl?
Let's see. I do have something to plug. Plug it. Yeah, I made a book called The Set Lighting Lexicon. You can find it at setlightinglexicon.com. If you're looking to get involved in Hollywood lighting, it kind of teaches you how. And it also teaches you about all the equipment that we use, both in grip and electric, including all the lights from back in the day, the carbon arc lamps that we used to use but no longer use.
That's awesome, dude.
It's a complete catalog of like visually of all the equipment, all the manufacturers are involved, and it just helps educate new people who are coming into the
industry. That's cool, man. I would like that just for historical reference, because half the lights I've worked with aren't here around anymore.
Chapter one, key lights. Chapter two, fill lights. Chapter three, what's the third light?
Dimmable LEDs. No.
Wait, no, key fill, and then what's the third
one?
Flood?
No. Backlight.
Backlight. Mm-hmm. What's it called again, and where can people get it? Amazon, I'm assuming?
My website. Setlightinglexicon.com. And
setlightinglexicon.com.
Yeah, it's a complete catalog of all the equipment that we use on Union Productions.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, thanks again for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Of course, you're going to stick around. We're going to do the bonus. Who knows what we're going to talk about? More kind of theoretical, weird theology, I think, where God is like a demon and demons are God. He's into it. Great. Willie, anything?
Willy Bad Movies on Instagram now. That's all.
Okay. Thanks everyone for listening. Remember, go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi and become a producer just like our two Lydias, Lydia Petunia and Lydia Alexander. Thank you for your donations and for our beers.
Go to our Real Life Sci-Fi YouTube. Give us a follow on that, because I've been posting some stuff on YouTube, and I feel like I would like to start creating more content for that.
Is the link in reallifesci-fi.show?
Yes.
Okay, so go to reallifesci-fi.show, go to the YouTube, and then subscribe. Don't search YouTube for Real Life Sci-Fi. I guarantee you it won't pop up, right?
Yeah,
it never works. All right, thanks for listening. And remember, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. We'll see you next time. Ooh, you're dead now. You're dead, ooh.
We're in your afterlife.
We're here, and we're giving you a message. Subscribe to our Patreon. Stupid idiot. Fuck you. I mean, just do that and tell all your friends. And now, wake up.
I can't snap anymore because I broke my finger.